Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a brand new theme park opens in Orlando, and the Trump tariffs are not only impacting vacationers from other countries, business travel to the U.S. is off even more dramatically in the past couple of months. Details next in the news.
Important note for Southwest travelers, if you make a reservation after Tuesday the 27th, you will not receive two free bags, regardless of when you travel. We have the critical update for smarter travelers at 11:20.
We call ourselves the Travel and Entertainment Guys because entertainment is a big part of many travelers' adventures. But entertainment venues all over the country are still trying to recover to their pre-COVID world. At 11:35, we'll talk about why your support for the arts is even more important right now.
Our Odds and Ends segment at 11:45 features a heads-up on a new cruise scam on the Internet. An interesting battle is shaping up at Chicago Airport between American and United, and Mark shares his pet peeves on hotel rooms.
Yeah, and it's a good list. I think some people will agree. Thank you for making time for us live on KFBK or on our weekly podcast. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Remember now, tips and more information to make you a smarter traveler and all kinds of goodies can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Good to see you, Mark. How was your week?
Nice to see you. I want to take just a minute here at the top of the program and remember a friend. I got a phone call yesterday morning from a friend I'd gone to high school with informing me that a mutual buddy had passed away suddenly. And because it's NBA playoff time of the year, I wanted just, and I think of Eddie during this time of the year because we had a wonderful adventure together. My buddy Eddie France, who was the point guard on the most unlikely championship basketball team probably in high school history, and was the shortstop on our softball team for many, many years, passed away this last week. Eddie and I were just out of high school in the 70s when the Golden State Warriors went on a very unlikely run, championship run. And playoff tickets, there were only 8 teams in the playoffs back then, and playoff tickets were very easy to get to start with because nobody assumed that the Warriors were going to go anywhere. In fact, even the Coliseum in Oakland didn't think they were going to go anywhere because during the next round of the playoffs, they had scheduled an RV show. So the Warriors had to play at the Cow Palace in the playoffs and eventually went on to win the NBA championship by sweeping the Bullets in 4 games. In a really amazing, Bill King was the announcer for the Warriors back then. Anyway, Eddie and I went to every single playoff game that year from Sacramento, drove down to Oakland and watched every single game, and then to San Francisco to watch the Cal Palace games. We would always stop in Vacaville on the way home at McDonald's, cause Eddie was a great guy, but he was fairly frugal. And so McDonald's was our hangout on the way home. And, you know, for a couple bucks back then, you could get a lot of food. But anyway, I think about Eddie every year when the NBA playoffs come up because, boy, that was a crazy time. The Warriors had no business being in the championship round. In fact, most pundits said the Warriors that the series would only go 4 games. And they had the number of games right. They just picked the winning team wrong. Everybody thought the Warriors were going to get their hat handed to them. But anyway, my buddy Eddie and I, who shared a lot of great memories going down to the playoffs games in Oakland in the 70s, and the NBA playoffs are happening now. So rest in peace, Ed. You were a great shortstop and an amazing point guard and a great friend.
All right. Thanks for that, Mark. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we start off by bringing you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news.
4% in the second quarter, so that means that $600 ticket will only cost you $580. So you'll have enough money to enjoy a cocktail at the airport, maybe, if you pick the right bar. A Washington border town, Blaine, Washington, Tom, which is just over the border from Vancouver, says that they are really feeling the pinch as Canadian visitors dwindle as the weather warms up. Gasoline sales at the Chevron in town are down 50%. Canadian vehicle traffic into the county is down 42% in March. And the people in Bellingham and Blaine are saying, you know, the numbers are one thing, but these Canadian people are our friends and we miss them. You know, people who came here every year for years and years and years are not coming this year. And so anyway, that's a check-in from another border town. American Airlines will offer free in-flight Wi-Fi for members of its AA Advantage loyalty program starting in January of 2026, the company announced this week. They're not the first to make free internet a perk on flights. JetBlue has offered complimentary Wi-Fi for years. Delta Airlines made it free in 2023, and United Airlines is in the process of equipping its planes to offer Starlink satellite Wi-Fi, which they think will be installed on all the aircraft by early next year. Interestingly, they started off with the smaller planes first. So if you're saying, well, gee, I haven't seen that on any United plane that I have flown on. They're starting with the small planes, excuse me, and then going to the larger aircraft. There's a brand new theme park in Orlando. Tom, you're kind of a theme park sort of guy.
Oh, yeah, boy, this is pretty exciting. I've been following following this development. First major theme park rebuild or new in over 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, this is called Epic Universe. It's a Universal Studios project, $7.7 billion. I didn't look up what they're charging to get in, but bring your wallet, because if it cost them $7.7 billion to build it, yeah, they're probably gonna charge a dollar or two to get in.
Yeah, I did hear a number. I hear the initial number is about 135 a day.
135 a day. You know, I remember when this is going to date me here. I remember when Disneyland was $22, and we thought that was a fortune.
Right. Right now, you can get Disney for $100 a day.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, we used to. The couple times I went to Disneyland as a kid, we would hang around outside the gate. And, you know, because that you bought ride books, mm-hmm. Kids now have no idea what these were, but you there were A tickets and B tickets and C tickets and D tickets and E tickets. An E ticket ride used to mean something entirely different than what it means now, because an E ticket ride referred to the best ride at Disneyland.
Right.
And
it
people would come out
opposite.
Of the people would come out of the park, and you would be standing there, and you would ask them if you could have their ticket book. Because if they were leaving, you know, they weren't going to need whatever was left over in there. And usually they were the A and the B tickets. But every once in a while, you could snare a book from somebody coming out that had an E ticket in it.
There you go. And next thing you know, you were on the Matterhorn.
That's you betcha. So that was the for those of you who have just come onto the planet in recent years, that was the original E ticket. Here is the first of what will be two important announcements from Southwest in the program today. The next one will come up in the Smarter Traveler segment. Southwest Airlines has banned battery charging in carry-on bags. Now, this relates to these portable lithium chargers. This has nothing to do with the charger that you plug in at your seat and plug into your phone or your watch or whatever other gadget it is. These, what we're talking about here are charging instruments that don't plug in. They feed off of lithium battery strength, and these things have proven to be a problem on airplanes. And so Southwest has made a rule now that if you carry one of these on the plane, they're not going to let you put it in the overhead or put it under your seat. You're going to have to put it someplace where it's visible, and that's because if there is a negative, they start to smoke. In one case, they actually start caught on fire. So the airline is just saying, look, you know, you have to carry this stuff. We want it where you can get at it easily, where you can see if something's going wrong. So I realize it's a little confusing to some people, but this doesn't have anything to do with things you plug in. It's portable units that you don't plug in that are already charged, and you're using that to keep things active on the airplane. So if you have any questions, ask Southwest. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Sometimes they're referred to as a charging brick. You charge it's basically a battery, mm-hmm. and you plug in it at home, and you load it up with as much power as it can handle, and then you can plug in and use that power to recharge your devices. But as you pointed out, those are very suspect. They can heat up, and no doubt about it, you want to... Even if you weren't using it on an airplane, you want to make sure that it's someplace visible. I wouldn't use it and not be home.
Well, and if you were home and you're recharging that instrument so that you could use it when you're out away from any places to charge, then while you're recharging it, it's possible that it could be a problem. So again,
That's true.
Want that to be out somewhere where you or somebody else in the room could say, hey, wait a minute, there's smoke coming up from that. What's going on there?
I'll smell something funny burning.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Here's a little more bad news. Trump tariffs crash European business travel to U.S. We've talked about before about how the restrictions and the taxes on different aspects of a tour would affect things. But this also points out something that we hadn't talked about, and that is if your business is being damaged, then probably there's no reason or there are fewer reasons for you to come to the U.S. to check and make sure that things are going well or to travel with your group or whatever. So business travel from Europe has dropped off dramatically in the last couple of weeks. And going forward, it doesn't look good. So a lot of business travelers have chosen not to come to the United States because they don't need to. Spain has made a huge holiday ruling as 65,000 tourist rentals are blocked. Spain is having the same problem that a lot of other countries are having, including our own, which is real estate speculators are buying up homes and apartments and other places of where people live, and then they're renting them out because they feel they can make more money renting them out. So what started out Airbnb as I'm going on vacation, I'm going to try to get some money out of my room while I'm gone, has turned into a multi-billion dollar business. And so in Spain, it's gotten particularly ridiculous in and around Barcelona. We've talked about this before on the program. So Spain has just gone back and using the rules in the rule book have said that, you know, you're not following, we don't have the license number, we don't have your ownership records, we don't have all the information we're supposed to have, so you are not going to let rent this room out. It's caused just a bit of chaos. If you're headed to Spain in the next couple of months and you thought you were renting an Airbnb or one of the other online rental companies, you might want to double check because a lot of chaos is going on over there, and my guess is that this is something that will come to other countries, both from an oversight rule or there's going to be more attention paid to rentals because it's fine when you go on vacation and you find somebody to rent your apartment or your home and they take good care of it and they pay you some money for it and it offsets your vacation and everybody lives happily ever after. But when private companies are doing it and they're not following the rules, either the local rules or they're ripping off visitors, why then that's something that somebody needs to step into. I told you how a few weeks ago I was in a tour group that got hung up in all those delays at Newark Airport. Newark has, the FAA is now limiting landings and takeoffs at Newark to 28 per hour of each. That's down from about 35 per hour, so it's down about 20%. They're still having problems at Newark Airport, especially later in the day. So my previous advice still stands. If you can fly and avoid Newark, even if it means that you have to make a connection and go into another New York area hotel like LaGuardia or go into Pennsylvania, into Philadelphia and take a train up or something like that, it's something that you want to look at and consider because getting in and out of Newark, which has the only nonstop to and from Sacramento from the New York area, an evening flight that comes in from Newark and then goes back as a red eye. So just keep an eye on that. And finally, venue sites for the 2028 Winter Olympics competition have been announced. There are a host of them in downtown Los Angeles, including baseball at Dodger Stadium and boxing at the Peacock Theater in downtown Los Angeles, but also the city of Carson. Long Beach is hosting four events. Anaheim has volleyball, equestrian events at Santa Anita Park in Arcata, Pomona, San Clemente, and South El Monte are all on the list for Olympics competition in 2028 in Los Angeles. And that is your travel news for today.
There you go. And that's the Summer Olympics there, right?
It is.
All right. Okay, folks, we are the Travel Guys. Want to remind you, Rudy's Hideaway. We talk about him often here on the Travel Guys. Great place for lunch or dinner, especially if you got family from out of town and you really want to impress them with some fabulous, fabulous food. Rudy's is a great choice. However, they will be closed on Monday, Memorial Day, so mark that on your calendar. Otherwise, back to business as usual with a lunch on Tuesday, opening for dinner at 4 o'clock. Whether it's clam chowder, whether it's one of my favorites, I like the scampi. The scampi is is kind of like a poor man's lobster in some ways, and it's a lot less expensive. But their scampies are so large and so tender that they could be mistaken as a piece of lobster. Good deal, though. There's the Travel Guy Special always available for you. 6-ounce lobster tail for only $29.95. And if you need catering or you're going to put on a party, Mark, you had a party at Rudy's a few weeks ago.
Just a couple weeks ago, yes. A very wonderful party.
Everybody was pretty happy?
Everybody was pretty happy. And the servings at Rudy's are so good. You know, as you start to get up in years a little bit, it's really two for one. Because some of that stuff, you can't possibly eat all of it in one setting. So you eat half of it and take half of it home. And prices look a lot better when you're getting two meals for the price of one. So that's the plan. Shh, don't tell anybody.
And right off of Highway 50, if you're headed east, you'll see it off on the right. Right there off of Hazel Avenue and 50. Okay, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, it's the Smarter Traveler segment. More bad news, if you will, from Southwest Airlines. Here with the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Nearly 400 sports leisure travelers came to the KBIE studios last weekend for our springtime tour preview day. Found all about all of our holiday tours and some of the trips for the first quarter of next year. If you would like to find out more about those trips, you can go to sportsleisure.com where all the new trips are posted. Or if you're a sports leisure traveler, you'll be receiving a newsletter in about 10 days that will have all of the new trips in them, at least the ones that didn't get completely sold out from the folks who attended preview day. So pretty amazing. Yeah, it's our customers love us. So thank you very much for all of that love and your bookings last week. And if you didn't make it to tour preview day, you will have an opportunity to get a list of all the new tours coming in about 10 days from your friends at Sports Leisure Vacations.
Amazing, amazing. You guys must be just so happy to have such a great clientele. That's all I can tell you. And I know, you know, from personal experience, Mark's staff is extremely likable and very good at what they do, and it shows. All right, let's take a look here. As we mentioned, we are not only just the Travel Guys, we're the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, what's this about entertainment venues all over the country still trying to recover? I've been to a few shows, and they've seemed pretty robust.
Yeah, well, and I was just in New York a week ago, taking people to shows on Broadway, which I'm going to suggest to you that while Broadway has its own set of challenges and a lot of them involve expenses of putting on a show on Broadway because you're in New York and nothing is cheap there, but all over the country outside of Broadway, even the secondary theaters in New York City and the region are having a huge challenge. This is not only theaters, but choral groups and other groups of people who represent the second level of arts in our community. And you would say, well, what does that have to do with travel? Well, as I just said, I just took a whole bunch of people to New York City, and the focal point of our trip was going to shows on Broadway and at Carnegie Hall. I know people probably don't consider it a travel activity, but the music circus is about to start up again. And many people travel down to downtown Sacramento and have been making that pilgrimage for a long time to see shows under what used to be an actual tent. Fortunately, due to the budgeting expertise of the people and fundraising expertise of the people who were part of Music Circus for many years, including our friend Richard Lewis, they have a beautiful permanent Music Circus theater to perform in. And so the Music the Summer series will go in the Music Circus building, and the rest of the year they're in the Broadway Theater. So they have quite a program there. But and I'm not making any statement about any particular financial condition of any individual arts group. I don't have any knowledge of that. But I know that the media is filled with arts groups who are having a challenge, and including this one in Palm Springs, and I bring this up because this is a theater group that we use on itineraries in Palm Springs. In fact, went to a show there just a couple of months ago, a nice regional theater in Palm Springs called Desert Theater Works. They sent out something to their folks last week that just basically said, today we find ourselves facing an unexpected challenge, and we're turning to you, our supporters and friends, to help us meet it. Two of our essential grants, one federal and one state, have been frozen or put on indefinite hold. Now, the administration in Washington is trying to shape the country in their image, and this has involved some arts groups seeing their funding cut off, at least temporarily, if not permanently. So this means that those folks, in order to stay in business, have to come up with that money someplace. Some of them have reserves, but in many cases, they're going to be turning to the people who support them and asking them to step up their support. So I haven't seen this specifically from any Sacramento groups yet, but this email from the Palm Springs group, which is a fairly robust and healthy theater crowd, reminds me that arts groups all over the country, many of them are going to face funding crunches in the days ahead. Some of the money that they had available to them, particularly federally, may be hung up or may not be coming at all. And so it's going to be important for people, for those of us who enjoy theater and concerts and things like that, to step up and support them. And that doesn't seem all that unfair. If we're the people who enjoy them, then we need to support them. And we may need to support them a little more strongly than we have in the past, because it will be a matter of survival. This letter from Desert Theater Works in Palm Springs is very, very mildly worded and doesn't mention anything about them folding or going under or anything like that. But it does, it is a call to action, and they are asking for people to step up their donations. So I think you can expect to see that from other arts groups, that they may be leaning a little bit more on private donations from people who support them, and also people who support them after they're gone. You know, people who leave bequests and things to arts groups that they enjoyed. So if you are one of those people, make sure that you make those arrangements while you're still on the planet, because then your dollars can have an impact after you're gone by helping other people to be able to see the type of entertainment that you really enjoy. And we're lucky here in Sacramento that we've had a very robust theater and arts community on many different levels for many years, but we did lose a Sacramento theater company recently, got absorbed into other theater groups in town, so we're not immune from this.
Yeah, absolutely. And there has been a couple of large-scale concerts that have decided to pass by Sacramento this time around for one reason or the other, even though we still have a lot of country in the park and some rather large events out at Cal Expo. Good point, Mark, and thanks for bringing that up. What you're talking about, you know, kind of goes hand in hand with our friends at PBS. And the public support that they need and that they have, that people campaign for on a regular basis at this station. And one of the things that people may or may not know, that the federal government had pretty much decided that they were no longer going to contribute or help fund public broadcast, either radio or TV. So some federal money that fell that way is also going to go away. So that form of entertainment also is going to get the squeeze.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so there is an opportunity here for people who enjoy that kind of program and can afford to support it a little bit more than they are currently doing so, to step up and do so. And not everybody is in a position to do that. So it's up to the people who can, in my opinion. At Sports Leisure Vacations, we've been a huge supporter of PBS, of KVIE in town for, many years, decades, if I would be an accurate statement. So this year, when we saw this coming, we stepped up our support by sponsoring a speaker series that they're having in town. Jack Gallagher was just in town last weekend at KVIE, and there are a couple more of them still to go. So there are ways that you can, if you're a business, there are ways that you can support public broadcasting and support local theater groups and stuff like that. It's a major part of our advertising program. So I'm just suggesting that if you care about the community and the things that are in it, that this might be a good opportunity for you to step up and have your voice be heard. So that's...
Yeah, you know, I think this is a perfect time for us to go ahead and let people know that if they'd like to support the Travel Guys radio show with just kidding.
Yes, a special GoFundMe account.
It just sounded like a perfect place to put that, right?
No, I knew. And I knew. I could see where you were going with that when you started. All right. We have our odds and ends segment still to go. And some really cool information there. There's a big battle going on at the Chicago airport between two airlines, or Norwegian cruise lines. It's dealing with a new scam that we're going to tell you about. And I have some thoughts on biggest hotel room peeves. And some of them are fairly recent. See if you don't agree with me. All of that coming up right here next on The Travel Guys.
There's so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Did the commencement speech at Maryland University. I know Trump did Point West, but I think Kermie's commencement speech.
Can you imagine you've gone to college for all these years, spent some ungodly amount of money, worked your butt off on some level to get where you are, and you go to your commencement ceremony, and the commencement speaker is Kermit the Frog. Now, you need to know what the background is here. And I just have to tell you, this doesn't have a damn thing to do with travel. But I thought it was really cool. Kermit the Frog gave the commencement speech at Maryland University, University of Maryland. And why did they choose him for him to do that? Because Jim Henson, the man who created Kermit and all the other Muppets, that's where he went to school, the late Jim Henson. So I just an absolute stroke of genius, in my opinion, to bring Kermit the Frog back. And literally, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, I didn't ask Sarah to post this until just a few minutes before showtime, so I don't know if she saw it or not. But at some point in time, or you can Google Kermit University of Maryland, and it'll pop up for you. And yeah. If you have enjoyed the Muppets over the years, it's absolutely worth listening to. I think it's a wonderful reflection. You have these stuffed suits that get up at places like things like this and try to give these really amazing speeches and be inspirational to people and stuff like that. And here's an animated frog at the lectern, and it's brilliant. And then I went down the alley and to other Muppet things and Henson tributes and stuff like that. Anyways, like I said, doesn't have a damn thing to do about travel, so maybe we should go back and talk about some things that do, since this is a travel program. A huge battle is shaping up at Chicago O'Hare Airport. For those of you who have flown through there for a lot of years, American and United both have hub airports, or both have hubs there. So they both have a lot of gates, and everybody else is relegated to sidebars and has-beens. Even Southwest has started flying into O'Hare on a very limited basis because they have their own airport, Midway in Chicago. But anyway, every year, apparently, the Chicago Airport Authority issues gates based on the amount of activity that you've had the previous year. So if an airline steps up their activity and one airline steps it up and one moves it down, then you might claim a couple of their gates. And that's what's about to happen, apparently, at O'Hare, is that United currently has 90 gates, American has 71, and according to the Chicago Department of Aviation, the balance could shift in United's favor a little more if preliminary gate space redistribution by the city is implemented. United would gain about 5 gates. To give you an idea, that's about probably 7 inbounds and outbounds a day. So that's 14 flights that can use maybe 16, depending on the timing and the size of the aircraft and all of that kind of jazz. So for some of you, this probably doesn't mean squat. For those of us who are aviation geeks and who love to look at things at airports that other people say yawn at, we are kind of, some of us are kind of interested in this. Last year, American offered 25% fewer seats at O'Hare than in 2019. So what has happened is that United has just stepped up their presence there. So if you're an American Airlines flyer and you wonder why you can't find your flight at O'Hare, it might be time to be a United Airlines flyer, because that's probably where your flight went. Here is an interesting story. This is about cruise line scams, but it could apply, I think, to other places and other things. Norwegian Cruise Line, and one of their staff members has sounded a little bit of an alarm here. My guess is that this staff member is a blogger and may be paid for this announcement. Mm-hmm. So I take it with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, Norwegian Cruise Line passengers have seen people calling them on the phone and trying to trick them into making a payment, thinking that they're communicating with the cruise line. So NCL is just reiterating that we would never do that. We would never call you on the phone and say you owe us money. We would never send you something and send you a link and say you owe us money. We have other ways of doing that. So if you are traveling on NCL, or any other cruise line in the foreseeable future, or with a tour company, and you get a note from them that says, hey, you know, this has changed and you owe us more money, or we need more information, go here. We lost your credit card info, we need it again. That's most likely horse pucky. So you need to recognize it as such and not respond to it. So thanks to the Norwegian Cruise Line employee who shared what's going on with their cruise line, where people are calling some of their customers and telling them that there's been an additional tax or surcharge and that they need to respond to it. And so that is a heads up for those of you who, not any kind of travel, gosh, almost anything you buy, don't be an internet victim. In most cases, people have the ability to contact the person that they, or the company they made a purchase from. Pick up, there's this old instrument that we have that some of us who are older remember, because it was more prominent back in the day, mm-hmm. but it's called a telephone. And on occasion, we all have, we used to just have them in our houses. Now we all have them in our pockets. So it's a lot easier to just, you know, you get a notice, and so you Google the people, or you look up in your email and you find a number of where you've got them, and you call them up and say, hey, did you send this to me? And the answer most of the time is going to be, no, we didn't. Stay as far away from it as you can. Even if it's not a request for money and it's only a request for information, that can lead to you being out money down the road. So those people may need that information in order to be able to access some type of account that you have. So be careful with that.
Well, there are those that also will tell you that, you know, there's a problem with your purchase of whatever, very likely something that you didn't purchase, and they will provide you with a phone number that you can call them to get assistance. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, I don't remember buying that. Well, maybe I should call the number and just check. Yeah, no.
If the phone number is in the email, then yes. Disregard it completely. go online, find the legitimate. The other thing you can do for fun is go up and click on the email address that it's coming from, who it's coming from. And frequently you will see that it's right away that tells you that it's not coming from the person, the company, or even the country that you're hoping that it might be coming from.
Right. They may even have the company's logo there. It looks legitimate. You click on it, and it says Carol and Bob from Waka Waka Waka, and nothing even close to a legitimate-looking email. Okay, I know it's time to let you vent a little bit, Mark, as we near the end of the program, and as we mentioned earlier in the program, you've got some pet peeves about hotel rooms, and then who doesn't?
Yeah, well, this was kind of triggered, Tom, by an article in the Washington Post this last week. Excellent newspaper, by the way. I really enjoy it. $100 a year for getting it online. this is our biggest hotel room pet peeves. And as I read through this, I was like, oh, my goodness. There are other people out there who feel the same way as I do about some of this stuff. Some hotel rooms now, bathroom doors are becoming somewhat of an issue. Hotels are getting real creative with bathroom doors. In some places now, they have these almost like barn doors. They slide on a track.
Yeah. And close. I saw one of those recently at a hotel.
Yeah, except the problem with that is that the door, when it slides over to close, usually has about a 3 or 4 inch space between the wall and the door. So somebody walking, it does, what it does is it effectively limits your privacy.
Right.
And it makes a lot of people, we've had travelers who have mentioned that this kind of makes them uncomfortable. Even if they're traveling with a friend, you know, sometimes you go in the bathroom and you do things that you don't really want to share with the other people in the room. There are sounds and smells and things like that that happen there. And one reason that we want a little privacy is so that those things can be mitigated. And those big kind of barn door things, the other thing that's real popular in bathroom doors now is this smoked glass effect. Well, so if you're on the other side of the door, you can see that there's somebody in there and that they're moving around. You can't really make out, you know, specific body parts and stuff like that, but it just makes people incredibly nervous, especially, you know, if you're with your spouse or, you know, you're traveling with a good friend or something like that. That's one thing. But you're two guys together or two ladies together or something, maybe there's less of a concern there. But I just would say to hotels, you have no idea. On tour evaluations, these items come up. And all I would say to hotels is that if people are digging down that far to comment on something in your hotel room, this was a big issue, and they're remembering it. So it's the bathroom doors is one thing. Also, the showers now, some of the bathrooms have a glass that only covers like half of the area and the other half is open. So you just step into the shower. Well, the problem with that is that, you know, you get into the shower and you pull the curtain or you close the door, you get a nice warm effect from the steam and the shower. Well, if you have this open door thing, you don't get that. Also, if you're not real careful with the way the water's coming out of the spigot, it's possible for you to easily flood the bathroom without realizing that you've done this. Another issue now is that many hotels have got clocks. You know, they were real proud of themselves when they put these alarm clocks in the rooms that had three or four plugs on the top of them. In some cases, even had different ways to plug gadgets in and stuff like that. I have a note to hotels. Most of those are outdated now. Most electronics companies have moved to other types of plug-in things, and your switches don't work anymore. So it's time for you to spend another $20 a room and buy a new alarm clock for the room. Some hotels have even eliminated them, or at least put something in there that allows us to recharge our gadgets when we get there. I mean, it just seems like a logical thing. Plus, whoever thought that leaving, you know, 2 inches under the door of the hotel room was a good idea? Not only is it light, but it's also sound. I was at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island last week. And the room-to-room noise, it's a wonderful place and a really special place, but the room-to-room noise was awful. Anyways, those are some things that bug me. I'm sure you have your own list. when we have more time, I'll share some more.
All right, my friends, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. Thanks for coming along. Mark, final word.
Final words. Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next week at 11 o'clock.